Father, we confess this morning that we need you. We've already proclaimed that you're all we need, but for some of us, maybe we don't even know what that means. And Father, for those that are in here today that might not know what that means, that we need you, please convince us that you're all we need. You're the only one worthy of our praise. You're the only one worthy of our adoration. And we worship you this morning. We say again that, or we proclaim again that you are King of Kings and that you are Lord of Lords. We don't say that. You already said that. But we proclaim that. And that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we rest in that this morning with whatever we've brought in this place. We rest that you are the only one that can take the burdens from us. You're the only one that can give us those perfect gifts that only you can give. You're the only one that allows us to experience the happiness, the joy that comes through a relationship with your Son Jesus. And Father, we love you this morning for that. God, be blessed this morning as we communicate your word, as we worship you and continue to worship you. We love you, and we're grateful for your love for each one of us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Kids, don't leave yet. Hold on. Time out. Don't leave yet. There's a couple things I need to say. Okay, a couple celebrations, and if I'm forgetting somebody, you can send the email to timbaker@... No, I'm just kidding. But somebody got his driver's license this week. Jacob? So I went and bought a bus pass, so I'm good. And then I think Cody, did you get to be on like some robotics team or something? That's a pretty big deal. Like, smart people do that, okay? So Ellie does that, Bailey does that. I think Dylan... Do you do the robotics thing? Okay, well, you take after your dad, so I apologize. But I'm just kidding. But Cody, way to go, man. Way to go. It's awesome. Jacob, way to go. That's awesome. So, okay, now kids, you're dismissed. And go to your classes, learn. But just be quiet. I'm just kidding. Hey, I want to read just a part of a passage this morning out of Psalm 95, and it'll be up on the screen, and you can follow along. For those of you that are concerned about this, I'll be reading it out of the New King James Version. But this is just something, you know, I've heard this said so many times in services that I've been in and under, you know, leaders that I've been under. Just let this wash over you. Okay. I get it, okay, but you're probably not going to hear that kind of language from me, so I just want you to receive this morning. You can follow along, close your eyes, but what I really want this message to be this morning is truly an extension of the worship that we just experienced together, okay? So this is what it says, and I'm going to read through the first half of verse 7. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Again, He's the only reason that we worship. And I want to talk this morning about worship. We're going to depart a little bit from our series in 1 John, and I want to dive a little deeper into this question about what is worship? What truly is worship? And we define it in so many different ways. But I heard this story several years ago. There was a couple of little kids walking down the street in Atlanta, and out of an alleyway came this rabid dog to attack one of the little ones. And this other kid grabs a 2x4 and beats the dog away, and the dog runs away, and he saves his friend. And a local newspaper reporter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution heard about this, and I have to read this because he put a headline after he interviewed the boy, and he said, "Falcons fan bravely saves friend's life from a rabid dog." The boy saw the story, and he called the reporter, and he said, "Listen, it's a good story, but I'm not a Falcons fan." He said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. I'll correct that in tomorrow's run, and we'll rerun the story and put a different headline." So the headline the next day read, "Hawks fan bravely saves friend's life from rabid dog." And once again, the boy's like, "Okay, great story," but he called the guy. He's like, "I am not a Hawks fan." And the reporter asks this question. He says, "Are you a fan of sports at all?" And the boy says, "Well, yeah, I love sports." And he said, "In fact, my favorite team is the New Orleans Saints." So the reporter agreed to rewrite the story again the next day, and this was the headline: "Redneck idiot kills faithful family pet." For those of you that are an Atlanta Falcons fan, you'll get that, okay? But it's all a matter of viewpoint. It's all a matter of perspective. When you ask this question in all the different circles that exist within the Big C Church, whether it be Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Wesleyan, Lutheran, Nazarene, Catholic, Episcopalian, whatever it is, when you ask them, "What is worship?" you will probably get a different explanation from every single one of those groups. And they'll only focus on what worship is. They won't focus on what it's not. They won't focus on the act of worship and what we're called to in Scripture as it relates to our obedience through worship. A.W. Tozer said this: "Worship is the missing jewel of the church." Worship is the missing jewel of the church. I believe strongly that a lot of times, and please understand, when I'm referring to people, I'm referring to myself as well this morning. I believe a lot of us come to church because it's Sunday. A lot of us don't get excited about Sunday because we get to worship. And I would love to see, and I know all of us would love, and I'm not just saying the Crossing. Again, I said the Big C Church. That's the church universal. For the church to really get back to, as Matt Redman said in his song, the heart of worship. What it's really all about. So I want to just go through some things, and I've got pages and pages of notes, and I'll just let you know, I won't get through all of this, so you're welcome. We might get out of here on time, and then you can tell Carl that we got out on time, and that'll be awesome. But I want to talk for just a second at the beginning about the what of worship. And I want to address the question that I asked earlier: what worship is not, okay? And first and foremost, worship is not an event. Worship is not an event. Matthew 15, verse 8 says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, we call this thing we did this morning the worship service. But a lot of times, that's the farthest thing from what we do. We come into this place and we say the right things, and we do the right things, and we exercise the right actions, and then we leave from this place and our Monday through Saturday is the antithesis of here. And listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. We have a new puppy, and I was not very worshipful yesterday. Okay? I was not worshipful at all yesterday. Okay? All of a sudden, I looked up, and my wife and two daughters were gone, and it was me and the dog. And I recognized quickly why they were gone. That was awesome. But listen, worship is not an event. We don't come into this place to check a box, to say that we went, to stand around the water cooler. Do we stand around water coolers anymore? We don't? Okay, whatever. Whatever we stand around and say, "Yeah, went to church yesterday. It was great. Man, the pastor, he preached a great message." "Yeah, what did he teach on?" "God." "Sweet. That's awesome. Good. It's pretty deep. Glad you got something out of that." Worship is a lifestyle. It should be a lifestyle. Because worship should encompass every part of who we are. So worship is not an event. The second thing that worship is not is worship is not music. Music is a vehicle to take us to the place of worship. Our band does a great job. Our lead worshiper does a great job. And I was a worship leader for years before I moved to Atlanta. And even when I was in Atlanta, that for the first few years, I was a worship leader. And I was always taught, and I've tried my best, and we've tried our best to teach Sierra that you're not the worship leader. You're not the best worshiper. You're not, just because you can sing really pretty, and you can raise your hands and close your eyes, and you have a nice smile, that doesn't make you any more important in God's eyes than anybody out here that doesn't raise their hands, may not have a nice smile, and can't carry a tune in a bucket. But you are the lead worshiper. You're the one providing us a platform to connect with Almighty God. But all of us, regardless of what we bring to the table, all of us are created to worship. It's so much more than music. It's so much more than an event. It's so much more than an experience. Can worship be experiential? Absolutely it can. But it is not an event, and it is not music. And then third, it is not a performance. Now, I could stay on this point for about 30 minutes. I won't. Okay? All of us need to be participants. You know, it's interesting. So many teachers and pastors and preachers, they talk about, you know, if you were as excited on Sunday morning as you were on Friday night or Saturday at the game or Sunday after church at the game, man, our services would be unbelievable. And I totally disagree. I totally disagree. Because the fans never get in the game. The fans never get in the game. They cheer for those that are executing the game plan. They cheer for those that are running up and down the field or up and down the court. And I have to say this because it's Atlanta, or up and down the pitch for you soccer fans. No, I don't think soccer is a real sport, but we won't go there, okay? I love you. We are called to be in the game. We are not called to sit on the sidelines. And make no mistake, it doesn't matter how you connect with God in worship. What matters is that you understand you are called to be in the game and that you connect with God in worship. If you connect with God in worship through the raising of your hands, praise the Lord. Raise your hands. If you connect with God by closing your eyes and meditating in the moment, close your eyes and meditate in the moment. If you connect with God by sitting down and being quiet or sitting down and singing, so be it. If you connect with God by kneeling or walking around the room, however it is that you connect with God, I would just encourage you, connect with God. That's what worship is all about. It is a connection with our Creator, who, by the way, created us to worship Him so that others would be drawn to Him and receive the same life in Christ that all of us, hopefully, have received. So worship is not a performance. And then last, and there's so many, but the last one that I've thought of in this, what it worship is not, is worship is not a feeling. Worship is not a feeling. Genuine worship is not a feeling. It is emotional, but being emotional does not guarantee that you're worshiping. I've been to a lot of churches. Very conservative, on the other end of the spectrum, in between, Pentecostal, charismatic, liturgical, historical, you name it, I've been there. Funny story, I was actually at a church in Baltimore, Maryland, just outside of Baltimore, Owings Mill, Maryland. And I was there on a Sunday morning with the owner of our company, and he was speaking, I was there with him, and you've probably never seen me in a suit, but on this particular morning, we would have been in the suit, and because we were guests of the pastor, we were sitting up in the pastor seats. Remember that? The pastor seats? Both Joe, our owner, and I were very uncomfortable, but we were up there, and they were getting after it in worship. Getting after it in worship. I mean, it was loud, it was proud, people were running. I mean, I'm not kidding you. When I say they were running laps, they were literally running laps. This lady got up out of her seat. She ran a lap. She came up front. She fell out. If you've been in church any period of time, you know what that means. Slain in the spirit. If you fall back. She fell down. They caught her. Okay? And her hairpiece caught on the tie clip. And it came off. And I'm going to tell you right now, it went from an emotional experience, probably not worshipful, to an embarrassing moment that she'll never forget. And everybody in that service was immediately, who saw that, was distracted. Immediately distracted. Worship is not about emotion. Worship can be emotional, but emotion does not get us any closer to that moment of worship any more than if we're sitting here today, sitting under the teaching of His Word, or participating through song, or giving, or serving, than running around the church and being over-emotional, over-exuberant. So those are some things that worship is not. Worship is not performance. Worship is not music. Worship is not a feeling. Worship is not an event. Let's talk about, though, what worship is. And I love this. Worship, number one, is a response to God. Worship is a response to God. 1 John 4:19 says this, "We love Him because He first loved us." Because God has loved us and called us and saved us and provided for us, we respond to His love and His mercy through worship and adoration. If He did not create us, if He didn't love us first, if He was not love, Scripture's clear, God is love. If He was not love, and if we were not created in His image, we would have no idea what this thing called worship is. We would have no idea what it meant to connect with the Almighty through worship. But because worship is a response to God, because He loved us first, this should be for us. And again, understand, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. Believe you me, there are a lot of Sunday mornings where I'm running around doing 15 different things and I'm not connecting. Just being raw honest. But on that Tuesday morning, Southwest Airlines flight, I sit down and I'm tired and I open up my Bible app and I read through my Bible, my yearly Bible program. That's worship for me. It didn't have to be on Sunday morning. It may not have been on Monday. Hopefully it was. Hopefully I had opportunities to connect. Hopefully I was intentional enough to connect. Hopefully I was intentional enough to get in the Word. And that needs to be a discipline for us as well. But folks, it's a journey. It's a journey. And if any of us think we've arrived, if any of us think that, wow, we're the epitome of the perfect worshiper or the perfect Christian, shame on us. Shame on us. Because guess what? None of us will ever get there. So worship is a response to God. Secondly, worship is heartfelt. John 4:23 says this, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Let me read that again. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." You know, we serve a jealous God. Now, He's not jealous of what you have. He's not jealous of the things that you say or the experiences that you experience or the job that you have or whatever it is. He's not jealous of those things, because guess what? He gave us all those things. But you know what He's jealous of? Time. Yeah, He wants to spend time with you. He spending time with Him is worshiping Him. We go back to, that's why He created us. That's why He created us. Now listen, I know this subject can be heavy. I know this subject can sometimes feel like, oh, Chad's coming down on us again. Listen, I'm going to say it again, and I'll probably say it 15 more times. I'm looking in the mirror, okay? All you have to do after service is talk to Tammy, okay? That's all you have to do. You'll get a good glimpse of how I am far from the perfect whatever, whatever, okay? But worship is a response to God. Worship is heartfelt, and I love this. Worship is that which values Him above everyone and everything. Worship is that which values Him above everyone and everything. I love the first line in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Church and the Purpose-Driven Life. It's not about you, period. It's not about me, period. It's about valuing Him above everyone and everything. Mark 12, verse 30 says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment." You know, there are people in this room that I highly value. And I don't say this flippantly because there's different kinds of love, okay? But I love you guys. I do. I love my church. I love my pastor. I love you guys. But there is a lady sitting on the back row who, by the way, this morning is smoking hot. And I'll show you in my phone. She got on me one time because she was in my phone as Tammy Auckland. She goes, "Really? Am I just Tammy Auckland to you?" So in my phone now, she comes up as smoking hot woman with a smoking hot bod. There you go. I love Tammy Auckland. I love her. And I will tell you this, and I've never said this publicly, but I believe it with all my heart. Our kids, Sierra, Peyton, Ava, our kids are who they are in large part because of who she is. Because I'm gone a lot. And I hope, as all dads do, that we've had a positive influence on our children. But moms, y'all are it. I'm serious. I love you. And I'm fired up that our kids are who they are, large part because of you. But I will say this, and you know this. I love God so much more. And I know she does too. Again, worship is that which values Him above everyone and everything. Listen, we could get really personal. Okay. Jeff Clements bought a sweet truck. Okay. And if I don't get a ride, I will be highly offended. Okay. But I know Jeff loves his truck. But you know what? I know Jeff loves his family and loves God more than that truck. Maybe not more than his Jeep. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Matt Fox is a killer Jeep. A killer Jeep. Todd Auckland has a sweet Nissan Murano. It is next level, okay? Travis, you seen Travis's Mustang out here? That thing is hot. Not like stolen hot, okay? But it's amazing, okay? We can get into, John Brewer has a boat. He thought he was going to get away from it. He's like, "Yes, I got away from it," okay? Dave Helfer has an awesome farm. He does. He's got like goats and chickens and you have cows and horses. Not yet. Not yet, Laura, but trust me, I guarantee it's coming. He makes his own wine. Dave Helfer makes his own wine. John drinks the wine. And honey. Laura makes the honey. That's awesome. But all of the things that God has blessed us with, all of those things, our homes, our families, our cars, our education, our jobs, the vacations that we get to experience, all of those things pale in comparison to what our love should be for the one who created us in order to worship Him, to bring glory to Him, so that others like us, who were dead and now because of our salvation are alive in Christ, can experience that same transaction, that same transformation. That is why we need to value Him above everyone and everything. And then last in this, what is worship? Worship is a choice. You know, He created us to worship. But you know, in our fallibility, we don't do it all the time. And I'm not about exalting one person above the other, because again, nobody is more important than anybody else in God's kingdom. God loves everybody. 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 But Tim Baker has an amazing grasp of the Scriptures. And I know that because I know that Tim spends time very purposefully in the Word. Now, when I grow up, I want to be like Tim Baker. Yes? No? Maybe? Somewhat. Right? Spit out the bones. Exactly. And I'm just using him as an example because Scripture is clear. They will know you by your fruit. There's no question he spends time daily in God's Word. No question. And he grasps the Scriptures. He studies the Scriptures. Why? Because he values God above everything and everyone. And he makes a choice every day, as Scripture says, to take up his cross and die to self and follow Jesus. I've heard this since I was 5 years old. It's a daily dying to yourself. Get your quiet. Listen, there are still days, folks. It's not as easy as other days. Is it easy every single day? It's not easy every single day. But it's a choice. It's a conscious choice. And you know what? God is not concerned, I believe. God is not concerned with how many hours a day you spend with Him. What He is concerned with is that you make a choice to spend time with Him. It could be in prayer. I heard we had two new people on Thursday night at prayer. That's awesome. That is awesome. It could be in prayer. It could be in singing. It could be in reading the Word. It could be in studying with others. Shameless plug, it could be in small group. If you're not in a small group, you need to be in a small group. Let me know. We'll get you connected in a small group. Okay? But worship is a choice. So let's review. What is worship? It's a response to God, number one. It is heartfelt, number two. Number three, worship is that which values Him above everyone and everything. And then worship is a choice. Why do we worship? So we talked about what worship isn't, what worship is. Why do we worship? First of all, we worship because of who God is. We worship because of who God is. Psalm 95, number of statements that tell us who God is. Verse 1, He is called the Lord and the rock of our salvation. Verse 3, He is called the great God and the great King above all gods. Verse 4 and 5, He is praised for His work as the creator of all things. Verse 6, He is our maker. Verse 7, He is not just some transcendent deity, but He is our God. He is personal. He is our great and gentle shepherd. And we didn't read these, but if you read on in verses 8 through 11, He is the God of history who called and delivered the nation of Israel. And in Hebrews 1, verse 3, it says, He is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. And you know what? He created us in that image. He created us in that image. Listen to these again. He is called the great God. He's called the Lord, the rock of our salvation, the great King above all gods. Praise for His work as the creator of all things. He is our maker. He's not just some transcendent deity, but He is our God. He is personal. He is our great and gentle shepherd. He is the God of history who called and delivered the nation of Israel. And He created all of us in His image. Get fired up. That's awesome. The creator of the universe seriously created us in His image? Not doing a good job keeping that image up. Just saying, okay? Just saying. Working on it. Daily dying to donuts, but working on it, okay? Well, come on. Yeah, I got a witness back there. That's awesome. But we worship because of who God is. Secondly, we worship because of who we are. Verse 7, it says, We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. He is the shepherd, we are the sheep. He is the creator, we are the created. He is the one that pursues us. We've heard it said so many times, the sheep doesn't tend to the 99, the sheep tends to the one who is lost and stuck in the thicket. He forsakes the 99 to go after the one. He pursues us. He pursues us. Now, we're not going to get into free will and predestination and all that kind of stuff, but here's what I know. Wherever you stand on that spectrum, I will tell you this, and I'll argue this to the day I die. God is pursuing us every minute of every day, of every month, of every year. Whether we like it or not, He is pursuing us. Whether we feel like we're worthwhile or we're not, it doesn't matter. He's pursuing us. Whether straight or gay, Democrat or Republican, or whatever descriptor we put on society, guess what? God is pursuing us because all of us were created in His image. All of us. All of us. And the sad part is that a lot of you didn't just hear the statement that I made because you're worried about the fact that I said the word gay. I did. And He does. And He pursues. Just talk to Brad Hood. Brad was here last week. Brad had a radical conversion out of the homosexual lifestyle. He pursues all of us. And we worship because of who He is, but we also worship because of who we are. How do we worship? So that was the why, the how. How do we worship? Well, we did it this morning. We're to worship corporately. We're to worship corporately. We have heard this verse 100,000 times taken out of context. Hebrews 10, verse 25 commands us not to forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Corporate worship is important. Gathering together and worshiping corporately is important. But folks, it doesn't begin there and it doesn't end there. It's not all about that, but it's important. I don't know how people go through some certain life circumstances apart from the church. I'm serious. And I think I find myself saying that at least once or twice a month. When I hear of somebody who passed away and the family, they aren't believers, or the person who passed isn't a believer, or, you know, they go through some traumatic experience. Maybe they lost a job or what have you. They don't have a church family. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know where I'd be in my life if it weren't for the church families that I've been a part of. And my family, I mean, thank the Lord, I now have my brother and his family here locally. I'm so fired up about that. I'm serious. I mean, you can ask Tammy. I'm so excited that they live 5 minutes. They may not be excited about that, but I'm excited about that, okay? But for years, we didn't have any immediate family here. Our church, our small group, has been and still is our family. That's who we have done life together with. We are to worship corporately. We're to worship verbally. Worship corporately and worship verbally. Verse 1 of Psalm 95, it says it right here, tells us to sing and to shout to the Lord. And just so you know, you can't sing and you can't shout without opening your mouth. You just can't do it. It's impossible. Okay? Even Jeff Dunham, who is one of the greatest ventriloquists in the world, if you watch him, he opens his mouth. I don't know how he does what he does, but he opens his mouth to do it. Hebrews 13:5 says this, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name." Fruit doesn't just come off your lips. Okay? Like, there is actually action. There's action that has to take place for that to happen. We're to worship verbally. We are to worship physically. Verse 6, it tells us to do this, "Bow down and to kneel before the Lord." Psalm 47:1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye peoples." It's physical. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Psalm 63:4, "Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name." Psalm 134:2, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Now don't hear me saying, if you don't do those things, you're not connecting with God. I'm not saying that. But what did I say earlier? However you connect with God, however you connect with God, connect with Him. If you kneel, if you close your eyes, if you shout, if you sing, if you raise your hands, by all means, connect. Connect. You know, our wonderful friend, Dr. Michelle Khalil, if you've never heard his testimony, you need to corner him one day and hear his testimony. And I've said it from here, and he hates it when I say this, so I'm glad he's not here this morning. But in my estimation, Michelle Khalil is a true hero of the faith. Without a doubt. You know, Michelle was imprisoned for his faith. Was it for 3 months? And all three of those months, as he spent time, and I don't have all the details memorized, but it was with several people in a very, very small jail cell. You know the one thing he told me that was consistent? Is they worshiped. They worshiped. And he didn't say this, but he's like, what he explained to me, boy, it was verbal, it was physical, and it was corporate. That's what got them through. And even after his imprisonment, he had to do certain things to appease the local authorities. I mean, all of this for his faith. And guess what Michelle Khalil does today? He goes back to serve and to minister to the people that put him in prison for his faith. That's incredible. That's amazing. Worship is physical. We are to worship obediently. We are to worship obediently. Worship is a matter of obedience. I don't know who said this, but it says, "It is not how high you jump, but how straight you walk when you hit the ground." It's not how high you jump, but how straight you walk when you hit the ground. And then this, "The best public worship is that which produces the best private Christianity." The best public worship is that which provides the best private Christianity. Because again, worship is public. But make no mistake, worship is also private. So just reviewing these few things. How do we worship? We worship corporately. We worship verbally. We worship physically. We worship obediently. Why do we worship? Because of who God is. We worship because of who we are. What is worship? Worship is a choice. It is that which values Him above everyone and everything. Worship is heartfelt. Worship is a response to God. And then what is worship not? It's not a feeling. It's not a performance. It's not music. And it's not an event. I love worship. I love to worship. I love to be led in worship. I love to worship through reading. I love to worship quietly. I think for me now, as I'm on the maybe the back half of my life, just beginning that potentially, with three children, and yes, even when they're adults, they're still children, and we even had a conversation this morning, I think, that sometimes parenting adult children is sometimes more challenging than parenting children. Okay? And they're never off the payroll. Okay? Ever. Right? Yeah. But I love to be quiet. I don't mind the awkward pause. Because in that pause, sometimes, is when we can hear most clearly. We're really good at seeking. We're really good at asking. We're not very good at listening. And I would challenge you this week, spend some time listening. Is that worship? Absolutely. That's a physical act of worship, is listening. Maybe you're seeking guidance in an area. Maybe you're seeking salvation for a friend, or that they would have a radical connection to God somehow, or that you could be that vehicle that shares the gospel. You're not going to be the one that saves them, but you're going to be the one that plants the seed, because God causes all things to grow. But maybe what you're missing, what we're missing, is that moment of listening for God to really reveal who or what or where or how or why in our life. And make no mistake, it's worship. Why? Because it's drawing us closer to Him. It's drawing us closer to true communion and fellowship with our Creator. I was on staff at a church here locally from 2003 to 2006. And our pastor, I totally forgot about this. Totally forgot about this. And I'm one of those guys who doesn't get rid of anything. Like, my computer is probably like, would you please, like, delete something? Okay, something. But I don't get rid of anything. There was a letter that one of the girls in our youth group shared with our pastor, who still lives locally, he does, and we're still friends. But it was a letter from a girl that she had invited to church. And I just want you to listen to this. It says this: as a high school girl wrote the following letter to a friend, it says, I attended your church yesterday. Although you had invited me, you weren't there. I looked for you, hoping to sit with you, but I sat alone. I wanted to sit near the back of the church, but those rows were all packed with what seemed to be regular attenders. A greeter took me to the front. I felt as though I was on parade. During the singing, I was surprised to note that some of the church people weren't singing. Between their sighs and their yawns, they just stared into space. Three kids that I respected on our high school campus were whispering to one another throughout the whole service. Another girl sat there laughing. I really didn't expect that in your church, or any church for that matter. The pastor's sermon was very interesting, although some members of the church didn't seem to think so as they checked their phones, etc. They looked bored and restless. There were several people who left and then came back during the sermon. I thought, how rude. I could hear the constant shuffling of feet and doors opening and closing. The pastor spoke about the reality of faith. The message got to me, and I made up my mind to speak to someone about it after the service. But utter chaos reigned after the service. I said good morning to one couple, but their response was less than cordial. I looked for some teens with whom I could discuss the message, but they were all huddled in a corner talking as if to be their own clique. My parents don't go to church. I came alone yesterday hoping to find a place to truly worship and feel some love. I'm sorry, but I didn't find it in your church, and I won't be back. May that never be said about the crossing. May that never be said about the crossing. If we want to be marked by anything as a church, I can speak boldly and with authority that our pastor would communicate to us. We want to be known for two things. Number one, we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And number two, we love our neighbor as ourself. I believe he does a phenomenal job at that. Let that be a challenge to us. Again, I am so thankful that letter, that's not about the crossing. That's not what describes the crossing. But I think in some cases we can become so distracted with our daily lives and the busyness of our lives that we forget why we were created and what we've been called to do as followers of the Almighty God, and that's to worship Him. Why? So that others are drawn to Him and they can receive that same saving knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. So as you go this week, worship. Whether it's physical, verbal, whether it's as you're kneeling, as you're sitting, as you're standing, as you're interacting with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, do it with an attitude of worship. Is it going to be easy? It's not. But does it have to be intentional? It has to be intentional. It has to be intentional. Let's pray. God, thank you for worship. Thank you that you created all of us to worship. Thank you that it takes a daily reminder a lot of times for us to continue to connect with you in worship. Father, I pray this morning that as we go throughout this week, that you would constantly remind us why we were created. Constantly remind us what you seek from us. And God, keep us mindful, focused on those times when you're desiring it all the time, but there are times when it just becomes more obvious than others. Man, I got to connect with God. I've got to take the time. If it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, free our time to connect. And God, maybe our time won't be free. Maybe we'll be so busy that we don't have a minute of a day of the week, or a week of the month. God, we still need to connect. And Father, I pray that you forgive us for those times that we will choose not to connect. Not just forget to connect. Not just forget to worship. Not just forget about spending time with you. But we will make that conscious choice sometimes to not connect with you. And God, keep us reminded daily that you are pursuing us, that you love us unconditionally, and that you created us to worship you so that others would be drawn to your Son, Jesus. God, we love you, and we're grateful for your love for each one of us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Awesome. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next week. Remember, pray for Carl and Lisa that they get to have a great vacation and have a great Sunday. Love you guys.